Is there a manure technology that can replace synthetic fertilizer, making manure more usable in your soils? That's one of the things we're going to be talking about in this episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where you get a guaranteed return on investment of your time as we cut your learning curve with the information you can apply to your farming operation immediately. Extreme Ag, we've already made the mistakes, so you don't have to. Managing your farm's water resources is a critical component to a successful and sustainable farming operation. Advanced drainage systems helps farmers just like you increase their yields up to 30% with their technologically advanced water management products. Visit adspipe.com to see how they can keep your business flowing. Now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve. I've got Kelly Garrett of Garrett Land and Cattle on here, and I've got Kurt Grimm with NutriDrip. Kurt posed something to me the other day. He said, you know what? There's some pretty cool stuff we're doing where we're oxygenating and aerating liquid manure on these farms and these pits, and we're getting more fertilizer boost out of it. We're even doing this thing where we're extracting down manure, and it actually almost is replacing synthetic fertilizer. And I said, that sounds like a heck of a topic because where I see things going. So, Kurt, first off, tell me about the technology that you're even talking about that you're doing. You're essentially making manure, which we've been using for decades, years, centuries, millennia, as a fertilizer, but you're talking about making it more valuable and better utilizing it. This plays right into something that Kelly and I talked about in our first 6 months together with Extreme Ag, that we said we've always treated manure like crap. So it's kind of the same concept here. Go.
Yeah, so we're doing a couple different things. First of all, the manure separation, where we're separating liquids from solids. And we're doing that at a level that allows us to use the manure through a subsurface drip irrigation system, you know, which is kind of hard to believe because a drip emitter is very small. The filtration requirement is like 120 mesh. So it's similar to having it clean enough to go through your sprayer. But we found some technology that is allowing us to separate that manure to that level, actually beyond that level, and remove the solids. Most of the nitrogen, the potassium is still in the liquid, and it's allowing us to apply that manure underneath the ground during the growing season. There's no smell, there's no runoff risk. There's just a lot of really good benefits to putting that manure right where it belongs.
Kelly, you're kind of a fan of manure. You have cattle. They're not like an intensive operation like Kurt's talking about, which would be more of the dairies and the hog facilities where they've got pits. But you're a big proponent of manure anyhow. Is this where we're going to get smarter and better? Because it seems to me it's time to get smarter and better about utilizing this source. And we're already better than we were 50 years ago. We used to just, you know, treat it like a byproduct and like get rid of it.
Exactly. Manure through drip is great. When you consider the, let's just look at it from a financial aspect of buying the tractor, buying the manure applicator, which that investment alone would pay for quite a few acres of drip irrigation. And then when we look at the compaction of the soil by taking that manure out there, when you look at making the neighbors irritated because of the smell, things like that, by putting that manure, the liquid portion of it at least, through the drip irrigation throughout the season, the application process is better. You're getting it below the surface of the ground, much more sustainable. It's a win-win situation. There's nothing here to be unhappy about. It is a big improvement over the current application process.
First question that somebody's going to ask, and I will get to the technology that you're talking about, Kurt, you know, but the real big picture stuff about squeezing it down. And you told me before we hit record yesterday, we were talking about making it like the equivalent of, I don't know, 10, 10, 26 or some fertilizer number. But before we get into that, the things you're doing on these farms, we're not talking about beef cows out, you know, running around on the hills like Kelly's. We're talking about going to the dairies and the hog facilities where we've got confined animal feeding operations or confined dairy production facilities, lots of manure in one place, most of which is water. So talk about the separation and then the oxygenation and how you're getting more bang for the buck on that manure.
Right. So most of these are the systems we're working with are either going to be lagoons or deep pits underneath the barn. So in a lot of hog confinement and even beef confinement, there's a lot of barns out there with, they have deep pits underneath of them. So they've got a solids component that's, let's say, 8 to 12% solids. We're going through a two-step separation process where we're going through a screw press first that takes out the big solids. And then we're going through what's called a microfilter, which takes out the small particles. One of the big benefits is a lot of livestock operations are getting squeezed on phosphorus, and they're building up phosphorus close to their facilities, because for years and years and years they've just done what's easy. They put the manure out close to the buildings, and those levels have built up over time. Through the separation process, we're putting a lot of those solids, the solids get into a dry form that is similar consistency to corn silage. So you can stack it, you can haul it. Now you have the ability to take a dry material and haul it to a field that's 10 or 20 miles away and basically spread that manure out farther and get more bang for your buck. So that's kind of the separation component of what we're doing
at this point. Okay, the separation. So the point is, it's more efficient. You're taking the water one way and then the solids. So one of the inefficiencies in livestock production is hauling water as manure. You're getting rid of the water component and keeping back the solids. So if you're going to truck stuff 4 or 5 miles, at least you're trucking stuff that's got more nutritive value per pound.
You're trucking the concentrate.
Yeah. Right. What's this thing about the you did something, an experiment on a pit where you oxygenated or something like that. Can you go a little in depth on that?
Right. Okay. So we had a customer come to us from South Dakota, and they were interested in, they were building a new hog barn and they wanted to agitate the pit. And there's some technology in Europe where they agitate it and it lowers the ammonia that is leaving the barn. So ammonia, that when you walk into a hog barn or beef confinement barn, the stuff that burns your nose, that's ammonia, which is nitrogen that's going back in the atmosphere. And so by aerating the pit, it's allowing that nitrogen to stay in the liquid. So the nitrogen value in the manure will be somewhere in that 50% increase over the current nitrogen value. So it's basically adding more nitrogen or holding more nitrogen into the manure versus allowing it to escape to the atmosphere. So there's this big greenhouse gas reduction. The pit is easier to pump. It never has to be agitated. It's not going to build up with solids. So there's all kinds of side benefits that happen along with that. But really it's allowing the producer to add value to their manure by keeping the nitrogen in the pit.
Yeah. So what you said, you corrected yourself. You said it adds nitrogen to it. No, it retains nitrogen versus allowing it to escape. Yeah. Firstly. Secondly, just like the other episode we've recorded where we talked about knowing your soil's moisture level, I threw it out to Kelly. I said, this is where the future goes. I quote Kelly all the time. I don't know if you ever noticed this, Kurt.
That's a good idea.
I just walk around. I mean, like sometimes I'm walking through an airport and I just walk up to some stranger and I say, did you hear what Kelly Garrett said? And then you know what they always say? They say, who the hell are you and why are you talking to me? That's what they always say. But anyway, get out of my face before I call security, put you on a no-fly list. Anyway, he said the convergence of sustainable practices and high-yield practices is coming. In fact, they're already converging. So it used to be this idea that high yield meant high resource burn, high carbon footprint, burning diesel, bad practices to get big yields. We're now on the path of high yield and sustainability do converge, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. This is right there along those lines. We've got this new nitrogen and nitrates and nitrous oxide are kind of like the new boogeyman. That's where we are in ag. If we're retaining that nitrogen in these manure pits, first off, makes it better breathing for the humans and the animals in those facilities. But secondly, we're eliminating a greenhouse gas that has become a bullseye on agriculture. And we get the sustainability, we get the pollution reduction, and we get the benefit of the stuff staying in that liquid that then goes in the fields. All through agitation, this seems too easy.
It does seem too easy, but that's really what we're learning. And we're still figuring out how to get paid for all that, right? Like there should be some funding out there to help us implement this practice, because we are doing all of those things. But those are some of the next hurdles we have to get over, is how do we get the farmer paid with some of this green money that wants to improve our footprint.
Well, that's good, but if there's a fertility benefit, and you know, maybe there shouldn't. Would it work without the payment? I guess.
100%. Yep.
Kelly, I was going to ask you a question, but since I run around quoting you, I'm just going to toss it to you. Now, say something quotable. Just say something intelligently quotable.
Lay it on me. Oh, you just want me to come up? You're not even going to ask a question. All right. Yeah. The doing this with the manure, putting it through the irrigation is agronomic and it's sustainable. So it should improve the farmer's CI score. And I feel that the carbon space, the sustainable space, is moving towards validating a CI score up and down the supply chain, looking at the traceability of every product, every commodity, and corn is our product, our commodity, obviously, our primary one. Soybeans are in there. And by putting the manure on in this way, by irrigating in this way, just like we've talked about in another episode with Kurt, the soil moisture probes, things like that, controlling. So all of those things are sustainable practices, this included, that should improve the CI score of the farm. And if the space keeps moving in the direction it appears that it will, that'll be valuable. And that will could be a way that the farmer gets paid because he has a better CI score.
All right. We're going to go into manure technology that might just replace synthetic fertilizer. We've been talking a lot about practices. We've been talking about better utilization, you know, and I want to get into that. Before I do, I want to, while we're talking about fertility, dear farmer, you work hard at keeping your field's fertility levels up, but if fertility is unavailable or underutilized, you are wasting your money. Loveland Products, an industry leader in biocatalyst products, including products like Titan XC, Extract, and Accomplish Max, release fertility for healthy, high-yielding crops. Visit lovelandproducts.com to increase your results. All right. The knock on for manure is going to be the person that says, I'm not close to a livestock facility, so I'll never be able to get rid of synthetic fertilizer. So you've talked about a couple things. Some of your technologies, Kurt, make it, and some of these things that are coming, make it so that you can go further with the product, right? Right.
So I want to, here's what I want you to think about. So if we've got this manure clean enough to go through a subsurface drip irrigation system, it's by far clean enough to go on a planter as a starter fertilizer, or in a sprayer as a foliar. If so, think about the benefit of being able to dribble 10 gallon an acre or 20 gallon an acre of hog manure through your planter and replace the 1034-0 or maybe the pop-up that you're putting in furrow. So just
is
ideas.
Is it concentrated
of like,
enough?
How do
is
we?
It, is the product concentrated enough to do that? Because as I'm thinking, I'm like, well, that'd be a cool idea because you're saying the technology there to do that. But Kelly's saying, I'm not sure I'm replacing a true starter fertilizer by dribbling 10 gallons of hog manure.
No, I hadn't considered this, but I do agree with Kurt. It's not as concentrated as the 1034-0, but it's going to be, I'll tell you, I believe it's 10 times more available. So the lack of concentration is made up for by the availability.
Got it.
And so what are the synergies going to be? What are the synergies going to be with the biological products or the sugars? You know, being able to help jumpstart some of those products, the carbons, right, the humics and the fulvics, and combining those, I think there's going to be some synergistic benefits. So just starting to think outside the box of
all the things that Kurt just listed are in that manure. The sugars, the microbials, the biologicals, the carbon products, all that's already in the manure. And, you know, it's not. What he's talking about is not a lot different than the plant food byproduct that I use out of the feed industry. This year's fertility is last year's soybean crop. All he's done is refined it, taken it down, and now it's refined enough. It can go through the planter. It can go through the sprayer. And it's not going to be as concentrated as the 1034-0, but I bet it's a very impressive product. I would be more than happy to try that in a trial aspect because that's good stuff.
What's that? Of course, the first objection, somebody that's a naysayer is listening to this is going to say, yeah, well, you're going to truck me a bunch of liquefied manure. Well, you also had to truck in the 1034-0. It didn't come from across the road either.
That's just a mindset. That's a mindset that just because it comes from a retailer, it's better. You know, that's just a mindset. And yeah, and that goes back to, we've treated manure like manure. Just like Kurt said earlier on, the phosphorus is building up close to the hog building or the cattle building. Why is that? Because the objective wasn't to put fertility on our land. The objective was get the manure out of the lot.
And the
objective needs to change. The objective needs to be, how can we make this the most valuable product that we have?
Kurt, what do I need to do? What do you need to do? Who's doing it? In other words, you've got this product. People that are growing hogs on contract barns, they use this stuff, but you're talking about taking it to the next level. How's that happen? What, aeration, agitation? That seems easy enough. You can agitate stuff. What else needs to happen?
Yeah, so we've got to combine the separation equipment with the aeration equipment. I think that's one of the steps, because then it becomes more concentrated. And then we've got to get it distributed, and we've got to get it tested. This coming season is going to be one of the next steps. We'll be doing some testing in the greenhouses this winter with some small trial things. But just starting to, you know, as much as anything, I just want to plant the seed of think outside the box. Like, what are all the possibilities, and what can we improve on in agriculture? Because you talk to the livestock guys. I was just on a call this week with some large dairies that are looking at expanding. Their number one issue is how to get rid of manure. That's the number one thing they worry about. Yeah. And yet the crop farmers would love to have it, but it's in the wrong spot. We don't have the quantities where we need it. It's not clean enough. And so how do we shift that mindset?
You talked about doing a few different things. What about, is there a way to get rid of I guess you can get rid of the water through irrigation, but my dairyman in Indiana doesn't need any irrigation from December until sometime in June. So in other words, getting rid of the water component of it isn't as easily said as done in most environments, most climates.
Yeah, you've still got to have lagoons. You've got to have holding capacity, because, yeah, there's definitely a timing aspect to it. But most livestock operations are going to be set up with that and have the capacity to hold it until the season where the farmers need it.
Got it. All right.
And we can use existing infrastructure for that.
The question was, are we going to have manure technology that can replace synthetic fertilizer? How far away are we? We're never going to get rid of synthetic fertilizer completely, but Kelly made a very valid point. We've already got this resource. It's probably being underutilized. There's a reason that phosphate levels next to the hog facilities are, you know, through the roof, et cetera. All those things, totally, we all agree. Everybody even listening understands and agrees. What's the next step?
Oh, we need testing. We need producers that are willing to take and do some on-field trials, willing to test this concept. I really feel like that's the next thing, is we have to validate it, and we've got to prove it out on a field scale.
By the way, if you're listening, you're missing out this video. Big tough Kelly Garrett has a real soft spot for a dog named Molly, and she's in the office with him today. And so you should check out this video. She's jumping on his lap because the guys in the shop below the office are pounding on wheels or something, and it's got the poor doggy scared. So you know what? You shouldn't be embarrassed about loving your doggy, because real men love dogs, unless they're pit bulls. They should all be euthanized. So here's the thing. What I want you to do to get me out of here is this something that, like, we're talking big picture future stuff. 1 year, 3 year, 5 years from now, are there going to be a bunch of people say, yeah, man, we trucked in a more concentrated, it's really a more concentrated manure product is what you're talking about, and we put it on the planter. Are we seeing that? We're going to see that 3 years from now?
I think so. I think that's where we're headed. Yep.
I think we should do it next year, Kurt. I want to try it now. You need to get me lined up.
All right. Stay tuned. There's going to be your trial. The question was, will manure technology replace synthetic fertilizer? Probably not all at once, but there certainly is promising a future out here. And so we're going to try some stuff. Stay tuned. That's what we do here at Extreme Ag. We're always trialing and experimenting. As Chad Henderson said, he's never had any failures. He just had trials that didn't quite work out. That's what we're about. We made the mistakes that you don't have to. Hundreds of videos, just like this recording right here on Cutting the Curve. Hundreds of videos these guys shoot in the field. Hundreds of videos with brilliant people like Kurt Grimm from industry that are trying trying new things and bringing you information you can apply to up your farming game. If you want to take it to the next level, become an Extreme Ag member for just $750 a year. It's just that simple. You'll get access to premium and exclusive information, as well as question and answer opportunities with the guys like Kelly. Thanks for being here. Till next time, I'm David Mason. This is Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve, but there's plenty more. Check out extremeag.farm, where you can find past episodes, instructional videos, and articles to help you squeeze more profit out of your farm. Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Advanced Drainage Systems, the leader in agriculture water management solutions.